Brian Binney on the day commercial spaceflight scored its big breakthrough. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. It's been 10 days since President Obama's fiscal 2011 budget called out the end of NASA's Constellation project, an end to NASA's direct work on returning to the moon, and a significant shift in the focus of human spaceflight toward the private sector. Congressional opponents of the change, many of whom appear to view NASA first as an economic development grant program, say this is the end of human spaceflight. So I thought it might be worthwhile to recall that moment in 2004 when Spaceship One, developed with private funds, made the second of its back-to-back suborbital flights to win the Ansari X Prize. At the controls on October 4, 2004, was Brian Binney, a 20-year naval aviator with 4,600 hours in 59 different aircraft. Brian recalled that day recently to Aero TV.
October 4th was a pinnacle day for me, and it was a day that was a long time coming. I had spent 10 months sort of wondering if I was ever going to have the opportunity to get back into the vehicle. It wasn't that clear to me how the lineup was going to go, and I had worked hard to prepare myself if the opportunity was there. I remember not being able to sleep much the night before. My in-laws had come to town. They had the master bedroom. I was downstairs on the couch, had maybe 3 hours of sleep. The Discovery Channel, the first episode of our first space flight, had aired just the night before, and it was very difficult to watch, knowing that we were going to be back under the spotlight again early Monday morning, and got into scale around 4 a.m., briefed at 4:30. 5 o'clock, we were doing the weigh-in, and the weigh-in was critical. We measured everything to the hundredth of a pound, and I'm the last guy to get on the scales to make sure that we had the 600 pounds necessary to satisfy the XPRIZE criteria. And as I'm walking out to the spaceship, my mother-in-law comes out from the crowd to give me a hug. It's rather cool that time of morning, and she's carrying a cup of coffee, and she reaches arms around me to give me this hug. Wondering what the plan is for the coffee, and I realized there is no plan as it pours all the way down my flight suit. One of the engineers, after they got me inside the spaceship there, said, you know, you're probably wearing 12 ounces out of a 16-ounce large cup of McDonald's coffee. That represents about 400 feet of apogee. Weight is everything in the spaceship, and 400 feet was the margin by which Mike had made it on his first attempt to space. And so it was sort of on that note that the cabin door was closed, and off we went into history. It was a rewarding day for me personally. It was one also for the team. Everybody had been working hard around the clock. You know, by 7:30, 7:45 on a Monday morning, it was all over, and the champagne was being broken out. A fabulous ending to a very difficult program for everybody involved. Some of the lesser-known facts of that XPRIZE flight was the altitude record that was held by the X-15 program, Joe Walker, all the way back to 1963, and Bert had just a few words of advice for me, and one of them was sort of this golf analogy that he told me to, you know, think of this flight as take out your driver, keep your head down, swing smooth, go long kind of deal. And he really wanted to beat this X-15 record. The previous space flights, we hadn't come close to it, and on this one, things just kind of clicked. It went just like we had rehearsed in the simulator. We had a whole different way of flying the vehicle than the previous two flights. There was no reason to necessarily suspect that we had got that right, but we did. The little spaceship that could scooted right up out of the atmosphere. We went up to 367,000 and some change, beating the old altitude record. The rocket motor performed flawlessly. The trajectory was straight. You know, it's very rewarding to see just how much you could get out of the vehicle when things went right, and that was a flight that really demonstrated it to us.
When we return, the non-monetary rewards of arriving in space. More with Brian Binney in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt. Private sector spaceman Brian Binney is recalling the flight of Spaceship One that won the Ansari X Prize and conspicuously launched the era of commercial manned spaceflight. For Brian, achieving apogee was a very special personal moment.
You know, when you finally arrive in space, it is so rewarding. And the neatest thing about it is I can't spoil it for anybody just by talking about it because it's a very personal one. The rocket motor shuts down and wonderful things happen. They happen just like that. The noise goes away, becomes very quiet. There's no shaking, shuddering vibrations from that motor. And you get this instant calm of weightlessness. Even though I'm strapped down, all the tension comes out of your limbs. Everything is just, you're unencumbered. And then you have that magnificent view. And I was able to take some photos that have done well to capture the view that is up there, I think. Someone also gave me a paper Spaceship One just before I walked on board, and I pulled that out and tried to fly it unsuccessfully. But I certainly did appreciate my time there. And even though it's 4 minutes, it's not a long time. It's certainly long enough for you to soak it in and take it in, appreciate it, and enjoy it. And even though I was still sort of in the flight test mode, you cannot help but sort of appreciate the perspective that these kind of flights put you into. I've had so many opportunities come my way since that flight. I mean, it was around 9 o'clock on that morning. We were talking to the President of the United States. I mean, that's pretty special in my book. I went on the David Letterman show. I've been able to travel essentially around the world, sort of promoting space, commercial space, space tourism. I've been able to sort of take the message to universities and different organizations and groups and spread the news about what we're trying to do, how we're trying to do it, and why these other groups and businesses should care. And really sort of honored to be in that position, and I take the responsibility to share the message sincerely and have really enjoyed doing it. I think with Spaceship Two now on the heels of coming out the door, that a successful follow-on program will be what I've looked forward to doing all along, and it puts us on the map as no longer just another gimmick that, well, they had their weekend of glory or they went around the world, but the so what is going to be answered. And that's very satisfying, and I think it's really going to change the way people view space and give it the opportunity to do things that that influence our lives the way aviation has.
It's hard to guess at this point how much weight history will assign to the winning of the Ansari X Prize. My guess is it will be viewed as at least as big a milestone as Lindbergh's first nonstop transatlantic flight in 1927. U.S. Senator Richard Shelby, an Alabama Republican who's among those fighting to keep the NASA gravy train flowing to his state, last week demeaned companies like Scaled Composites as rocket hobbyists. Comments like that deserve a place in history, too. Find video to go with Brian Binney's recollections in the archives of aero-tv.net, dated February 8th. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.